And we spoke about quark, anti-quark states for a big part of the week, at least in the last hour. I would like also to say something about other object, which is the first the diquark, then the nucleon, and the tetraquark. I already mentioned there's a diquark, anti-diquark. But surely there is a diquark configuration which is very important. So diquark. And so let me use this notation. QQ. So we put a quark-quark state. Obviously, a quark-quark state cannot be white, because you cannot make a white object out of only two quarks in QCD. Only for two colors that would be white, but not for three colors. Still, it is worth to study it. First thing, let's consider angular momentum between the two objects, two quark, zero. So this is the ground state, so they have a very simple movement around each other. Then we put the spin as also zero. Normalization constant in front, that so I don't care about the factors. Then let's do the following. I also put the flavor as anti-symmetric. I will then say exactly what this means. And the color also as anti-symmetric. So first consideration is that now when you have a fermion-fermion system, you have to respect Pauli principle. So if now you consider P1, 2, so you exchange the two, the quarks, you should get a minus. And indeed, this is the case, because, okay, the space part is symmetric, the spin part is anti-symmetric, flavor is anti-symmetric, and color is anti-symmetric. Now, let's be a bit more precise, which are the color, what does it mean, this writing and this writing here. For color, a QQ state has three possibilities in this form. It can be red, green, minus green, red. Let me see, red, green, blue. It can be green, blue, minus blue, green, or it can be blue, red, minus red, blue. An anti-symmetric configuration, that's over. Now, this nice thing of this anti-symmetric color configuration is that, basically, naively speaking, red-green behaves according to color, to color transformation, red-green as an anti-blue. As an anti-blue. So it is analogous to that. So the transformation of red-green under SU3 color transformation is analogous to an anti-blue transformation. And so on. So the green blue is an anti-red, and the blue red is an anti-green. In order to show this, one should do a bit of more of group theory, but at least as a first thing, as a first intuitive approximation, that's true. We will see later about still an example about that. And for flavor, well, for flavor, we have, so to say, the very same stuff. Let's consider three flavor, which is indeed the case. We have UD minus DU, DS minus SD, SU minus US. And this is now anti-symmetric flavor configuration. Now, why do I take this this D quark here? For what concern flavor, I have three possibility for this d-quark. So this, or this. The reason is that one finds in variety of models, instanton-driven model, lattice, QCD, gluon exchange, and whatever, then this is a compact object. It cannot exist by its own because it's colored. I mean, the color, this is not white. But it is very stable. It is a compact stuff. And it appears as a subcomponent of many other systems. For instance, if we take the nucleon, the proton, good models which work well in the description of the proton They are d quark quark models. We have a UD, d quark, in this configuration, and an extra quark outside. So it is d quark quark model. And this is this object here. So actually, to be precise, let's remember that the number of anti-symmetric configuration that you can form is nf, number, the number of flavor minus 1 divided by 2. And it is indeed, so to say, only for an f equal 3, you have 3 objects and 3 anti-symmetric objects. Because if you put 3, you have 3 times 2 divided by 2 is again 3. This way, you have 3 quarks and 3 anti-symmetric quark configuration. But this works very well because the UD quark actually again, there is a correspondence. It's like an S bar. DS is like a U bar. And SU is like a D bar. So this object, UDU, is indeed similar to a meson where instead of an anti-quark S bar, we have a D quark UD. And this is why we build an octet. The ground state octet of baryons is nothing else than instead of having quark anti-quark, we have quark d quark. But there is 3d quark, 1 quark, and we build an octet. You may say, why not the nonet? This has to do with when the symmetrizations, when taking into account Pauli, you will see that the would-be nonet, the eta prime, the singlet configuration, disappears. So you just have the octet. This is indeed, one sees also the emergence of an octet pretty in a simple way due to this correspondence. So let me then say something more about the nucleon then and the proton. Let's first... see color. So let's say, let's consider a proton. How will be a proton wave function? After the quark, we do proton. By the way, before I go further, consider that this d quark, di quark, you can build it in many different configurations, and this is why also for the emergence of tetraquark, because exactly as you now make a quark-quark, you can make a di-quark, anti-di-quark, and put them together. Now, let's put a proton wave function. How will it look like? Well, it consists of a space part, and that actually involves two angular momentum, L and L prime. There is an angular momentum of the quark-quark pair, and there is an angular momentum of the quark-d-quark, and both of them are set to zero for the ground state. But being a three-body system, in the end, you will have two angular momenta, one for the subsystem and one for the next, which comes, so the next quark. Then we will have spin flavor, which is the most difficult part to determine. And then there is color. Now, which is the color wave function of a proton? Well, let's see if this trick works. I've said that red-green is like blue bar, anti-blue, and so on. I could then construct this object. Red-green, anti-blue, plus green-blue, red-green, blue, plus green-blue-red, plus blue-red-green. I mean, intuitively, red-green is like anti-blue, green-blue is like anti-red, blue-red is like anti-green. This is just like anti-blue-blue plus anti-red-red plus anti-green-green. This is exactly as the meson we had, color anti-color in all possible configuration. But now with this trick that instead of a anti-quark, we have a di-quark. And this object is then red-green-blue minus green-red. Blue plus green, blue, red, minus blue, green, red, plus blue, red, green, minus red, blue, green. And this looks like the correct wave function of the proton, of the color, because it is complete anti-symmetric expression of three body in the colors, yes? This is the ground state. First, you always start from that. For sure, you can have some higher L and L prime, but the proton is the lightest. So when you want to build the lightest objects, you always go to the lightest, to the smallest possible L, because when you include some L, you give mass to the particles, so they go up. So some heavier baryons will have some L. For instance, for the diquark, if they take the diquark, they go to steady state L equal 1, I will see that the mass goes up very much, actually. And also here, but then it's the same, because this baryon is not so much different from the meson. See that instead of the antiquark, we have a diquark. And again, if you increase L, you increase the mass. And this is also what you see. Let's say if then one has to work with some defined framework, if you take the quark model and you put three quarks into a Schrödinger, relativistic Schrödinger-like equation, you see this exactly. That when you increase the L, both of them, you increase the masses. And the ground state corresponds to these two set to zero. Okay, so this is actually the fully anti-symmetric configuration. So this is anti-symmetric. This then should be symmetric, this spin flavor, in order that the full wave function is anti-symmetric, as it should, right? So this is, so to say, the next point to cover. By the way, in the end, this is the color of each three-quark baryon. Each three-quark baryon should have this wave function here, which is the white one. If you would like to show it in a more formal way, so the wave function can be also written as epsilon ABC, QA, QB, QC, where this is the color index, and this is the Levi Civita. I mean, this one, if you put in the color, is exactly this expression. I mean, red, green, blue plus permutation minus, when you switch the two, then you change the sign. And if you do a color transformation, you get epsilon ABC, U A A prime, U B B prime, U C C prime, Q A prime, Q B prime, Q C prime. But this one is actually equal to epsilon A prime, B prime, C prime. And this is why actually this object here is white. It is the same stuff. So this is how to show that this is white under a color transformation. And this comes from the fact that the determinant of U of the color transformation is 1. So this is where it actually comes from. So it is important in order to, and this is also why we need at least 3. In order to use this trick, we should have the number of matrices that we put here should be equal to the number of color in order to use this this property. So this is why in order to construct a white state out of only quarks, without antiquarks, you need at least NC, N color, that is 3. Okay. What else? Well, we have then to determine the spin flavor, which then we have here. So we actually construct the quark-quark with another quark. The colors will actually match exactly in this way in order to make something white. But what about spin and flavor? So what we have here, what did they write it? I don't have it. So I will follow a rather different way. Let me first write a diquark, QQ, which is actually even up, down, minus, down, up. I, again, don't check. UD minus DU. And this is, let me put it fully, so we have U up, D down. minus u down d up minus d up u down plus d down u up. Just close here. And this is now the the Dyck-Quark wave function only for flavor and spin, yeah? Because the color is put out and also the... And this is symmetric under the exchange of two particles. P12 acting on QQ flavor spin is equal to plus QQ flavor spin. Then the, what one could do for the flavor spin of the proton, let's say proton, flavor spin, why then not to write this wave function here? Let me write it explicitly, u up, d down, minus u down, d up, minus d up, u down, plus d down, u up, and then I simply put u up. That would be a proton with spin u with spin up. Let me put plus dot dot dot, and these dot 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 are still important. Well, this is surely, it looks good, but if you exchange the first two particles, you get a plus. But there is no symmetry if you change the first particle with the third, because the third has simply has been put extra, right? I mean, it is symmetry only with the exchange of these two, but the third one is extra there. So then one has to say symmetrize fully this object in order to get a proton flavor wave function which is not only symmetric under P12, but also under P13 and under P23. So that actually means that I have to, the dot, dot, dot means that I take the very same stuff, but I put the U up in front. So you would have U up, D down, plus U up, U down, D up. So I just copy everything and I put the U in front, minus U up, D up, U down, plus U up, D down, U up. But this is not over because there is still a third possibility. I can take this U and place it inside. So U up, D down, minus U down, U up, D up, minus D up, U down, plus D down, U up. Oh, apart from our normalization constant that I didn't care here, this is the flavor, this should be then the flavor wave function of our proton. Not so easy as you see. There are other ways to construct it that you find in books. They are equivalent to this. But in the end, if you put this stuff inside here, you have a full wave function which is anti-symmetric under exchange of two. Why anti-symmetric? Because it is symmetric here and anti-symmetric in color. It fulfills this idea of di-quark quark bound state, as it should be. And actually, if you then do calculation on that and calculate some ratio of magnetic moments and so on, you also find that it quantitatively works as it should. So this was, of course, one of the successes of the quark model, that it was able to describe these things. Of course, why I don't have only to stop at the U, at the proton. You can do the neutron, which is basically instead of the U, you put a N. But you can also start to put with this S quark, and you build a full octet of states. So this is the octet of baryons. There is also the lambda, the sigmas, and so on. Actually, not all baryons involve this. I mean, this is just this di-quark here. There are other baryons which are heavier, which involves other structures in this respect. So most famous and, so to say, also important for QCD in the history of QCD has been the so-called delta baryon. and the so-called decuplet. One can also understand the origin of this decuplet in a rather simple way. Paradoxically, in this framework, the decuplet is easier than the octet.